I want to talk today. Actually, it's taken from one of the chapters in my book, Don't Quit, Your Faith Will See You Through. So if you want the whole book, you have to go out there in the bookstore and buy it. I'm just taking some bits out of one chapter here to talk to you. Your Faith Will See You Through is the title of this. There it is up there. You know, 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12. While you're turning there, all right, here we go. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, there are times in our lives when we have to fight the fight of faith. We got to stand our ground and not quit, even if it looks like you're going down. You know, actually, if you read the Bible from the very first page, number one in Genesis, to the last page in the book of Revelation, God, you know, gives his people the same loving message that we're getting today. Don't give up. Keep on trusting me. I'll bring you through any difficulty. And I'll make your way victorious. Now, somebody said, well, it doesn't say it in those terms, but as you read the different scriptures, that's what it's saying. Am I right or wrong? Hello. You know, because of the oppositions and the difficulties that we face in life, there's probably not anybody that hasn't thought, what's the use? I might as well pack it in. I might as well give up. How many of you have ever had that thought? Thank God for the 100 honest people in this building. Now, I want to ask that question. How many of you, I didn't say you entertained it. I didn't say that you did it. But how many of you, that thought has come through your mind? That's what the devil wants to do, because he wants to destroy you, you know. But we got to realize from Abraham to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos, they all were faced with many, many perplexities and trials that we face in our generation. You know, sometimes in the face it looks like insurmountable difficulties. The decision has to be made, am I going to quit or am I going to keep on fighting for what God has promised me? Because the enemy is going to come to you, you know, and try to steal from you. It's one thing in the natural to quit in a fight. That's just not my style. I don't quit at nothing. I came out to be defeated and I will not quit. That's my motto. I've had it ever since I was a kid. And, you know, you beat me once, you're going to have to beat me again, because I'm going to be right there in your face. Because I'm not going to quit. I shouldn't maybe tell this, but I will. I think I was in the eighth grade. And there was a vacant lot down by the railroad track, and that's where everybody went to get in little scuffles, you know. I guess you call them fights. And so this one old big old boy, he's gonna take me on, and he got the best of me that day. And I said, tomorrow, same time, same place, because I said I don't lose. So we kept at it until I won. Now, that's, I don't know, that's sort of a Hagen trade a little bit, because I know there's some people in this audience that have played board games with my dad. He used to like this game called Aggravation. He called it Doogies, but it was Aggravation with the marbles where you move them around. Anybody ever played that game? If you play with him, and he didn't win, you played again, because you played till he won a game. How many of you played that game with him know that to be true? Yeah, I see Doug Jones and Cheryl back there, and Rich and Christina King, and me, and Lynette and Craig. But you know, that's an attitude that we need to adopt. Because in life, it's just a game, maybe. But when you're in a spiritual battle, the consequences are extremely sobering, because it means life or death. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. You see, you ever noticed, anybody ever watch, I know you ladies probably don't, but a lot of the guys probably watch boxing. Any of you ever watch a boxing match? Have you ever seen a guy lose a round or two and maybe even get knocked down in the first round and get up, but come back and win the fight? Because he refused to quit. You know, in the first round with the devil, you may get a black eye. Hello, you may get hit hard. But just because the devil gets in a couple of good licks doesn't mean that he's won the whole fight. If you put your trust in God instead of in what you can do in the natural, you're ready to go to battle with him. Get in the Word. Keep your spiritual muscles built up. You know, too many people, they only go to the Word when they get in trouble. You need to stay in the Word all the time. You know, if you're working out every day, you can lift quite a bit of weight. But you go 2 or 3 months without working out, you can't go back in that gym and lift the same amount of weight anymore. Am I right or wrong? In fact, some people try and they tear a muscle, they hurt themselves. That's what happens to we Christians sometimes. Everything going good, so we're not into the Word like we should, and then the devil comes and slaps it upside the head, and we try to reach out, but we have allowed ourselves to lose some muscle tone, so we're not ready for the fight. Come on. You know, get in the Word. Keep your spiritual muscles built up, so when he comes, you can knock him out. Amen. Hello. See, you must have an attitude, I refuse to allow the devil to defeat me. Christ has already won the victory for me, and therefore I refuse to allow the winds of adversity that are blowing, the devil's threats that are coming my way, that are making a mighty storm in my life. I refuse to go under. In fact, you need to rise up and say, according to God's word and according to what Jesus has done for me, I can't go under for going over. You know, they say, I don't know whether it's true or not, because I'm not a morning person, but they say the darkest time is just before the dawn. I don't know whether that's true or not. That's just, how many of you have ever heard that statement? There's a song about it, okay? But I don't know whether that's true or not. It may be. But you know, that's what happens to us sometimes. The Christians, they're just about to achieve victory. Many times just before victory, the devil hits the hardest. And he comes in and he's huffing and puffing and telling you that you won't win this time. And some people get scared and back off. Instead of pressing on, they begin to say, well, I guess I might as well give up. I don't think God's going to answer me this time. Man, what is the use of believing God and making the confessions and so forth and getting right to the doorstep of victory and then allowing the devil to keep you from going through the doorway to victory. You know, I grew up down there in that black land of North Central Texas. When it's wet, it's a black gumbo mud. Any of you from the North Central Texas area where you got that black gumbo mud? When it gets wet, there's a saying down there, if you'll stick with it in the dry times, it'll stick with you in the wet time, and it will. And you get a car stuck, and you're pushing on that car, and you get it, and it's in a rut, and you get almost to the top of the rut, almost out. And you let it slide back. And we used to do that. We get it up there, and if we was running out of strength, we get something to prop it up so it wouldn't get back down in the rut, and then the next one we get it over. Hey, don't let the devil's doing that to you. You're almost to the victory, and the devil comes in and says, hey, you're not going to make it this time. And you say, well, I guess that's right, and you fall right back down into the rut. You lose all the ground you've gained. You know, press on in faith. Take another step. Advance with God's promises in your mouth. Hello. You know, some people give up right at the point of victory. Now, I didn't say they weren't saved. They just give up on God. If you won't give up on God, He won't give up on you. Hello. Too many people, they stop right at the edge of victory. Your faith will see you through if you don't give up, if you don't quit. Hello. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to quit no matter what. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 32. Hebrews 11, 32. I realize it's already 11:15, and we're usually out in about 15 minutes, but I'm only on page 5 of 16 pages, so. We're going to be a little longer today, okay? But the Lord moved in with some stuff. Yeah. Sometimes we get in a hurry. All right, Hebrews 11 and 32. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the fire, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, become valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Another translation says, put the enemy armies to flight. You know, this is talking about all these things that were done by these righteous men and women of God. But if you'll study their lives, you'll find out they were able to do this because they refused to quit. They kept their faith in God strong. They were able to face the fire. They were able to face the lion. They faced every obstacle that came their way and came out on the other side victorious. You know, look at Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, there's one person has said that, wherefore, seeing that we are standing on the playing field with the grandstands full of witnesses, let us lay aside the weights that would try to entangle us. Now, you have to understand what this scripture is talking about. You see, this is written and it's talking about a person that's in training for the Greek Olympiads. the ancient Greek games. Now, in the ancient Greece, they had, in fact, we're fixing to have the Olympic Games down in Rio starting next month, I guess it is. And these people have been training for 4 years. In the Greek games, the people who would compete, they wore heavy weights on their legs and their arms, and they had on armor plate like on their bodies. And they would train, they would run with all of this weight on. And so this helped them to get their self in so that they'd have the endurance and condition and the stamina to actually compete in the contest. And, you know, I ran track in high school, and I used to, instead of running with my track shoes, I would wear my baseball cleats because they're heavier. I would wear weights around my ankles. And I would train with my sweats on. I wouldn't train with just my running shorts. I'd put my sweats on and train. Why? Because I'm carrying extra weight. Now, when I take all that off, even when I'm warming up for my race, I would do that. When I take that off, I would feel lighter. Actually, it says here, then when it came time for the race, in the games, they would lay aside those heavy weights. That's what it's talking about. And the stands were full of cheering spectators watching them as they ran their various races and competed in their trials of strength and endurance. Hey, I've done the same thing. I've been there. I've run in races. But, we have a cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on. Peter, Paul, Moses, Abraham. And those that's gone on before. In the stands today, I have my mom and dad, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, my grandmothers, my grandfather. I mean, you do too. They're cheering you on. They don't want you to quit. They say, hey, come on, you can win. You can do it. You see, when thoughts of defeat come, we should think about this and realize that they're saying to us, come on. You can do what the word says. I've told this before, but I never will forget this. My dad, because of traveling ministry, he saw me participate in one athletic event in my whole life. And that was, I was running in a race when I was in high school at Canterbury Bible Academy there in Oregon. And he was traveling through, I think he was coming from down in California, and he was going through up to Sweet Home, Oregon to hold a meeting up there for a friend of his. And he had to come through there, and so we were having the track meet, I don't know, I think maybe in Eugene or maybe Grants, Eugene, I think, or some one of those towns. And so he came by to see the race. Now, we were a smaller just a Christian, Canterbury Bible Academy. We were a smaller school, just a small school. But we were running with three upper class schools that day. We were way lower class school. I mean, we were like an A school, and they were like three A's and four A's. I mean, they were big schools, And because of our position of not being one of those guys, they're just letting us run in the track meet. We didn't get to draw for lanes. They just assigned us the outside lane. And sometimes that's not a good lane to run in because they don't. Of course, we had those old cinder tracks back then with those long spikes, and sometimes that outside lane wasn't groomed like it needed to be. And so we lined up. And we're on the 220 yard, and I'm way out here because they were on the, on the stagger curve. And so that starter said to me, he said, now, son, You're running with the big boys today, so just stay out of the way. It's the wrong thing to say to me. Man, he fired that gun, I took off. Now we're coming down, and I never will forget this. We were coming down the straight, I guess with about 50 yards, maybe 30 yards somewhere, before the finish line. And I saw Dad, he'd been down on the infield with me, and he was hanging out over, and all of a sudden he started yelling at me, "Ken, they're catching you, come on!" Well, man, I was giving it everything I had, I thought. But when he hollered that at me, I reached down on the inside and I came up with more. And I powered on through to the finish. And when I finished, I turned around and looked, and I'm 20 yards in front of everybody. And you know what he turned around to me and said? He said, "Now you know how fast you really can run." Because I thought I was doing all I could do. But I reached down and found some more. Hey, you maybe think you're doing all you could do. Hey, come on. Reach down and drive your way to victory. Hello. You know, you need that same kind of attitude that you're not going to let anything stop you. Persevering in faith is the only thing that will get you through to victory. You have to realize right now that if you're going to win, you're going to have to persevere. That means stay with it through the thick and the thin, the good and the bad, all of it. You got to stay there. Grit your teeth if you have to. Clench your feet, your fists, and say, "I will not quit." The devil is always trying to convince you that you can't do it. You can't make it. He wants to take away from you what the Word of God says belongs to you. Well, John 10:10 says it. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Another translation says, have it to the full. See, there's one thing to have life, but there's another thing to have more abundant life. Hello? Decide today, I will not quit. The devil will not defeat me. He cannot keep me from receiving what God said belongs to me. Now, real quick, let me give you, excuse me, let me give you some keys that'll help you to persevere and not quit. Number one, realize that you're running this race not for your glory, but for God's glory. When you refuse to quit and keep going in the race of life, it brings glory to God. You know, you need to run the race continually, quoting the Word of God. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Get a hold of those scriptures. When the enemy comes in and tries to stop you, you persevere by quoting those scriptures. If you have decided and you said, "Oh, I might as well give it, pack it in, I might as well give up," turn and ask God for forgiveness and get renewed strength. Put your sights again on what God said belongs to you, what God said that you can have. Get back in the race and decide that you're going to run the race, and there won't be no stopping. There won't be no quitting. There is nothing that can keep you from getting what God said belongs to you. go back to it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Period. Period. It doesn't matter what so-and-so said or what this preacher John said or preacher whoever, preacher thingamajig. It don't make no difference what they said. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say? That's what's yours. That's what you can have. That's what belongs to you. What this word says. Not what I say. Not what somebody else says. What God says. This is God talking to you. He's telling you it's your Father. This is your Father talking to you, telling you what belongs to you and what you can have. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope this don't embarrass her, but there sits Rachel Rowland right there. And according to all the medical reports, she shouldn't be sitting there. Is that not correct, Rachel? Wave your hands. Hey, it's because her parents, and a lot of myself and a lot of other people in this church took God at his word. Amen. And said she'll live and not die. Amen. And she'll not be a vegetable. Amen. And there she is today. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't tell her God's word don't work. Man, remember, God has invited you to run the race of life with him and receive victory. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. You can go to the throne of God boldly and receive whatever you need. Psalms 46:1 says that he is a ever-present help in the time of trouble. Ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, Satan will give you every reason in the world that you can't go boldly to the throne of God. Well, you know, the way you've lived, you just better be glad that he saved you. He'll try to tell you you don't deserve it. He'll try to tell you that you really don't have a right. Tell him what your name is. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. I have a right to go to the throne of God. Just like Denise, about 5 years old, she come flying down the hall in the administration building. She run right by the secretary and right by everybody and run right into her pawpaw's office. It didn't make no difference who was in there. She had a right to go into his office because of who she was. In fact, one person tried to stop her and she said, "Do you know who I am?" What she was saying, hey, what are you stopping me for? I got a right to do this. She, you know, I told a guy one time, because I was dealing with him years ago, back in about 73, I guess it was. I told a guy one time, I said, "Do you know what my name is?" Over before we ever moved on this campus, the other office. He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, did you ever read the name on the bottom of your check?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "It's the same name, isn't it?" I said, and then I said, "You better pay attention to what I'm saying. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Hey, listen, your name, because of who you are in Christ, carries weight in both worlds, in the heavenly world and in the evil world. In the evil world, they tremble and shake when you start coming around. In the heavenly worlds, they say, 'Come on in, son or daughter. What is it you need? We're here. I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you whatever you need. Come on.'" Anybody getting anything out of this? Key number three, keep on pressing on in faith. Keep on pressing on in faith. The story in Mark 5, 25 through 34, the woman with the issue of blood. I mean, she had a lot of things that she had to overcome, but she kept pressing on until she got her healing. She pressed through the crowd. You know, there's something else she kept saying, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. But there's something else that, if you think about it, it doesn't say anything else about anybody else in that crowd getting anything except her. And he told her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Press on. See, you got to learn to press on through every obstacle in your way. You got to learn to press on past your emotions and your feelings. Emotions and feelings hadn't got nothing to do with it. If the Word of God says it, it's so whether you feel it or not. Press on beyond the opposition of other people trying to tell you, well, you know, you can't ever tell what God's going to do. Yeah, I can tell you what God's going to do. God's going to do exactly what he said right here. That's what he's going to do. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Come on. Keep pressing on and persevering in faith until you succeed. The woman with the issue of blood, she pressed on, even when it was against her religion. She wasn't supposed to be out with the public because of her condition. Her blood could go read about it over in Leviticus. But then the crowd was there. There was a crowd. But she pressed through the crowd till she got. She persevered, and he said, your faith has made you whole. Number four, learn to plead your own case, or pray for yourself, in other words. Amen. See, my dad always told me, he said, son, learn to pray for yourself, because nobody cares about you like you do. You know, people, it's all right to get somebody to agree with you if you want to, but learn to pray for yourself. Amen. Always trying to, you know, people say, pray for me. Well, I will if I think about you. If God brings in my attention. But I don't think about you every day. But I think about me every day. Come on now. Let's just be honest. Learn to pray for yourself. No one can plead your case with God like you can. Don't let fears and insecurities, condemnation or low self-esteem or anything else keep you to coming to God for help. I want you to notice this little lady in Mark 5, she was ready to receive when she got to Jesus. You know, her tenacity got her what she wanted. Your tenacity of holding on to the promises of God will get you the victory that God said that you can have. I mean, you got to hold on to it. The devil will take it away from you if he can. You know, if you got two dogs and there's a bone and one of them has it and the other's trying to get it from him, I guarantee you the other can grab a hold of it, but that one ain't gonna, he clamps down on it, he ain't gonna turn it loose. In fact, before when my dog's just playing around with him, I give him a bone and when I was a kid, and I pick him up. He held on the bone. I pull him off the ground. He's 2 feet off the ground, but he still got a hold of his bone. He ain't going to turn loose of his bone. Hey, with your spiritual jaws, grab a hold to the word and don't turn it loose. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what comes your way. Keep hanging on to the word. The word said it. I believe it. That settles it. A quitter never wins and a winner never quits. Today, I want you to know that your faith will see you through if you'll persevere and come up with the attitude, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. God will see you through to victory every time. Heavenly Father, talk to these people for a few minutes today. stir up their pure hearts to grab once again hold to faith. I know they've heard this before, but Father, they need to realize that every day they need to stir their faith up, knowing that the enemy every day is coming against them. And they need to stir that faith up and say, I will not quit. I thank you, Father, that everybody will grab a hold of this and will persevere and receive all the victory that you have for them in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did y'all get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. Well, that's one of the chapters. I think it's chapter 6 out of my book. If you're interested in it, it's out there. I'm not trying to sell books, but if you're interested, I'm letting you know where it came from, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, isn't Jesus wonderful? Yes. Hasn't it been good to be in the house of God today? Yes. God has been so good to us, hadn't he? Yes. Well, just for a moment, would you bow your heads with me for just a moment, please? You know, we've had a great time here today. But sitting in our midst may be someone that doesn't know Jesus like we do. There may be somebody sitting here that knows what it is to know Christ, but you know you're not where you need to be. You just need to rededicate your life. Or you may be here and you may say, well, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever really accepted Christ or not. You know, if that's you, I want to pray with you, because I don't want you to leave here like you came. Could I see your hand, please? If you need Christ, you need to rededicate, you need a no-so experience, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand. Anybody here, anybody anywhere in this room, I want to pray with you. I want your life to change. I want you, there's a hand being lifted somewhere. Over here, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Come, anybody, anybody, anywhere, anyone. You know, we believe in the Holy Spirit around here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4 says, they all were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. If you happen to be here today and you say, I would like to have that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit, let me see your hand too. I want to pray with you. Just let me see your hand anywhere in the room. Would everybody stand, please? I'm going to go down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, or wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out now and come down here and shake hands with me and let us pray together so you won't leave here like you came. I'm waiting on you right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. Just come on right now. Just come on right now. Just come on right here. Hallelujah.
Just as you are.
Bless you. Bless you, man. You brought him down. Good. Just stand right here. You can stand with him. Stand behind him. God bless you. God bless you, man. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. Come on now. I'm waiting on you. Come on. I'm waiting on you. Come on. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I got three books in my hand called New Birth, In Him. I've been talking about In Him. And this talks about why tongues, not the Holy Spirit. If I said I was going to give them to you and I put them out here like this, what you got to do to get them? Somebody show me what you got to do to get them. That's right. You got to reach out to take them. You got them. They're yours. The rest of you going to get those in a minute. I just did that as an exercise. Y'all going to get those same books in a minute. I can give you a book, but I can't give you that spiritual thing that you come down here to receive. I want you to reach one hand toward heaven like he reached his book out and just say, you know, with that hand I'm reaching up to get what I came for. All you people, reach your hands out and pray for them. Heavenly Father, thank you for each of these that have come today. Thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience, blessed infilling the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to go to a place of prayer where you can pray with individually and in depth. Get those books that I gave him and get them there. And, you know, for you adults, it's a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world's that? Well, that's just a place for a few class sessions to get your life turned on or turned back on to God, okay? So I'd like to see you there next Sunday morning. Would you just turn and see Roger right there? And just follow him to that place where you can be prayed with in the minute. There's people waiting there to pray with you. Man, give them a hand as they go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. Well, it's been a great day. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. And Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Come believing, come expecting. Amen. We dismiss around. Staff, go to the doors. Would you please, staff, go to the doors? Connection team, would you go, please, get to our first-time guest? Nobody else move unless you have to, so the first-time guest can get to that special room. Connection team, go find them and take them to that special room, because we got a very, very special gift for you, okay? Very special gift. Go find our first-time guest. And please, take them back there. All right. If you're looking for a church home, remember, welcome home. You found it right here. Just come on, be with us. Amen. We sing a chorus to dismiss. The guy got to try to get to the west door. It's where I'm going today. There's where everybody's going if you want to see where we're going. We'll see y'all tonight, 6 o'clock right here. God bless. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. I'll be here. We'll see you. God bless. Oh!